Welcome to the Green Heart Living Podcast with your host, Elizabeth Hill.
I am so pleased. We've been trying to make this happen for quite some time, and we are here today. We are talking. I'm getting to speak with Miriam Waterman, my dear friend and fellow author in Great Pause. How are you today, Miriam?
Hello, I'm fine, thank you.
Will you tell us a little bit about what inspired you to write the chapter for The Great Pause?
Sure. You know, as we settled into this this time, really quite abruptly here, I'm in France, in Metz, and I started to keep a journal, something I hadn't done for quite a while. I used to often when I was traveling, but I had a little black book that I had recently purchased to make notes about going out to wine bars that was clearly not going to happen for some length of time. So after the events of the day, which largely included grocery shopping, I would make a few notes of some things that I had observed within the city, within my own routines, with my daughter. And so when Liz had proposed the idea of the book collaboration, I was thinking, that's a wonderful idea. Perhaps some of these things that I've noted that are really in some ways kind of mundane, but will be interesting as we reflect back on this time and we start to think about what we've learned.
And I'm so grateful to have your chapter in the book, and you're one of the most courageous people I know, that you just uprooted and moved to another country. Did you know French when you went to France and moved?
I have a particularity about myself. I always say I read guidebooks when I get back home, and this is actually true. I also have a bit of a propensity for moving to countries that I don't speak the language. I had actually studied German for some time, and then I moved to Spain. Not speaking Spanish other than a really rudimentary high school Spanish that included the word habichuelas and nothing else. And I was there for 2 years. And then I moved to France, but I didn't speak any French. The only thing I really knew about French was pain au chocolat.
Sounds delicious.
It's delicious. It is. I mean, and I think it's an important word. And, really, my recommendation is if you're going to move to a new country, you should at least know how to order breakfast. The rest takes care of itself.
That's excellent.
Who needs a bank account, really?
Excellent advice. So I'd love to dive in, and if you could read a bit of the chapter for us so we can hear it in your words, it would be so delightful.
Sure. I'll start at the beginning and I'll read the first couple of paragraphs. So, a time for green waffles, a meditation on life in urban France. It was Friday evening of our final day of school for a really long time. I went with Sasha at the end of our day to the bar Oz Arcades in Place Saint-Louis. Oz Arcades had been the first place I had ordered a beer when I had just barely arrived in Metz. The owner kindly asked in German, ein Bier, after I struggled for Bier in French. School had been canceled indefinitely. It seemed as though we were on the precipice of a wild new adventure. That afternoon in our directrice's office, my colleagues were feeling nervous. The conversation had several times spun out into despair. While certain facts were unchangeable, we were likely to be out of school until after the spring holiday in early May. We would receive technical unemployment, a French invention where we receive pay because we cannot work due to factors which are beyond our control. We were far from alone in this novel situation. As I would often do on a Friday with my daughter, Sasha, we went out for some food. Another favorite of ours was the Roman style pizza Nonna. A little pizza Romana and a glass of rosé always seemed to be a perfect way to accelerate the transition into the weekend. We ordered from the menu of Café Classics. Sasha had a croque monsieur, the spectacular grilled ham and cheese with a layer of cream cheese and an extra layer of melted cheese on top. I had a tartine topped with spicy mayonnaise, pulled chicken and onions. Tartine literally means to spread on bread. As it happened, there was live music that evening at the Oz Arcades. A French singer with a guitar was performing some traditional songs. We listened to several chansons français as we slowly took in the atmosphere. People were gathered at tables inside. The light was fading at 6:30 as we waited for our dinner. Even though we did not know that restaurants and bars would be closed for midnight the following day, in this cafe, populated mostly by those 40 to 60 years old, there was a sense of appreciation for the ambience that was provided that evening.
Thank you. It was so nice to hear you read that. I love that this time has given us a time to appreciate the basics, like the food, like the delicious food, like our sustenance, our nourishment, the music.
Definitely. These things that, you know, are perhaps every day and part of culture, but really, as we say, looking back, it's these are little, but they are really the big things.
Mm-hmm. Very true. What are things like where you are now? What's it like?
So we are now in the second confinement. So I can also, you know, for a while I had some distance from this chapter and say, oh, look at this quaint time, you know, I really liked, you know, going to find the sheep and the park, which at this point the park was closed, but now we are in a similar situation, but for the month of November, and now into December, some stores and things have opened back up again. But the summer was really quite different, and now in November again, I found myself going back to this time at home and cooking. But instead of it, the weather getting nicer outside, it was a rainy, cold November. But we made do with a lot of nice hot wine the first week of November.
Well, that works. Settled
in. Yes, it was a good transition into contemplation. I've done a bit more writing as well, and you know, at least this time it's less novel, but there are things that we learned in the spring that we're able to routines and such that we're able to fall back on, and there's less unknown, and you know, kind of less fear in that that situation.
Yeah, and I think when I look back to when we were writing these chapters, right, in the Great Pause, that it was so unsettling at that time. I don't know, I felt very unsettled at that time, and very different. And now we've been learning the ropes on this for a while, right? We're like, oh, this is a new way of doing things, and it's still unsettling. There's a lot of things we miss. But do you have any, I don't know, thoughts of wisdom to share with people to how to go about whatever they're facing during this time? Because I know a lot of different places, it's the same thing here. Like the kids are out of school now. They're not in school anymore over here in Connecticut. So a lot of folks are going through that shift again. Any advice for folks?
Sure. I mean, and I can imagine with the schools that's a whole different situation. In France, the children are still in school. They've preserved the business, and things were closed. But my daughter now still goes to school, and that's made also this month of November really quite drastically different than it was in the spring. But I suppose looking back to March, I mean the slowing down thing, which of course is necessary. I mean, I found I really don't bake. I've said I don't bake. I don't know how to do that. I cook, you know, really kind of in a chaotic fashion, and I like that, you know. But in this time, I found myself looking at recipes. I made cookie dough with my daughter last week, which I hadn't done in ages. And maybe the last time when I was working a garden job in the summer and really didn't have other responsibilities. But as I'm not working full time right now, it's allowed me to rediscover some different rituals than the ones that I might ordinarily fall back on, and to delve deeper into things. And to just enjoy that process that reminds, I knit it again in the spring. Oh. I hadn't knit in ages. I'm not that good at it. And I would often say that it was kind of my zen, because I never even learned the second stitch to purl. But I would buy some different kinds of yarn and really sort of enjoy making something. And we found a kit my sister had sent my daughter, and we knit a scarf. And it was quite nice to have this, handcrafts. For most of the time we are moving so very fast. And I had a reflection myself, because I speak fast, you can hear me right now. But I think at a certain point, I realized that I'm often overcompensating for actually liking things very slow. That so often, instead of my competitive nature and not wanting to be left behind, I would try to do things twice as fast and all at once. I don't remember exactly which point I noticed that, but it was sometime in March or April when I was going for a walk, purposely in the evening, because that was one of the few things we could do. Mm-hmm. Rediscovering a kind of meditative aspect of everyday life, I think, becomes an essential coping mechanism, an essential something that we need mm-hmm. to be able to continue, but also something that's quite enjoyable and fulfilling.
That's excellent, and I can so relate to that too, because we are both that kind of like making the things happen nature as Capricorns, right?
And yes, so we have to see some accomplishment, right, in society's eyes. Yeah,
check it off. And it's cool that you mentioned that you actually do appreciate this slowing down, and I can relate to that too. I mean, with yoga or going for mm-hmm. walks, I've been doing a walk every day that it's not like torrential raining out, but when it's when it's okay, I will go for a walk, and it just feels so nice to really let myself slow down. It feels so good for us, especially if we're, in other things, just go. It's a yes. beautiful time to get that time to slow and appreciate everything. Right.
Yes. No, it's really, really important. I haven't gone yet, but I found that near me, and I haven't really been, too much in the church in quite some time. But in university, I really enjoyed a taizé prayer, which is actually French. And mm-hmm. I found that the church about 2 minutes from where I live offers this. And it's really quite a meditative. It's not really, it takes place in the church, but it's not it's in many ways quite separate, so with candles and these things.
Oh, nice.
So yes, I was like, oh, maybe this is kind of, if there is a spiritual practice of this aspect, perhaps that this is the one that suits me. But as well, reminding me of probably the last time that I was moving more slowly as a university student, before I was working and with a class of 20 something children every day, when I could kind of go about my way and be in a production of the theater here, and then wander into the chapel, and kind of and walk a lot. It's quite grounding and nice things to have the chance to see again after this length of time.
Thank you so much for taking time to talk with us. I love hearing from you how you are. I love connecting with you. I love hearing your perspective on things. Do you have any handles on Instagram, or any way that people can connect with you and see your perspective?
Sure. I have a WordPress site.
Yes.
It's Impractical Life. Impracticallife at WordPress, that has some reflections and the occasional odd poem and some photographs. Let's see, do I have anything else? I have an Instagram that has recipes and not recipes, mm-hmm. but well, descriptions of food.
That's I like called that.
Munch Mess. I can post in the comments.
Oh, yes, please post in yes. the comments.
So of some weird things that I've made with what happened to be in the refrigerator, and you know, there might be a few French things that have found their way in there. Certainly in November, because we paired that hot wine with some really good cheese. So yes,
cheese is good.
All
right, my dear. Thank you so much for taking the time. It was lovely.
Oh, sure. Thank you so much. Thank you for the opportunity.
To find out more about Green Heart Living, visit us on our website at www.greenheartliving.com. And follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/greenheartliving.